Are you a mom struggling with feelings of hopelessness and anxiety? Is depression weighing you down and robbing your joy? Would you like biblical guidance and practical help for battling the darkness from someone who's been there and understands? Then we're so glad you're joining us for today's episode. I'm your host, Katie Morgan, and welcome to Parenting with Ginger Hubbard. Ginger is the best-selling author of Don't Make Me Count to Three, Wise Words for Moms, and I Can't Believe You Just Said That. She speaks at women's events, parenting conferences, and homeschool conventions across the country. You can check out her parenting resources and find out when she's speaking in or near your area at gingerhubbard.com. If you enjoyed this podcast and want to help support our ministry, one way you can do that is by purchasing Ginger's resources directly from her website instead of other online retailers. And stay tuned until the end of this episode to receive a discount code on your purchase at gingerhubbard.com. Thank you so much for your support, listeners. This enables us to further our mission, to help parents reach the hearts of their children for the glory of God. Do your kids just love getting mail? Do you go to the mailbox with them and sift through the mountain of paper, like coupon for mold removal? Yeah, don't need that. Hopefully. Electric bill. Ouch. Bathing suit magazine you didn't request. No, thank you. But what if your kids went to the mailbox with you to find an engaging current events magazine just for them, presented from a biblical worldview? God's World News is just that and so much more. They offer bi-monthly print magazines and corresponding online content that will walk your kids through current events in age-appropriate ways, from toddlers all the way to teens. Subscribe at gwnews.com/ginger. Again, that's gwnews.com/ginger.
Well, listeners, I've been eagerly awaiting this episode ever since I found out about our guest today and the encouragement and hope she brings to those who struggle with depression, particularly moms. I don't think I've ever shared this on our podcast, but I've struggled with seasonal affective disorder, commonly referred to as SAD, every fall since I was in high school. Not fun. It's a seasonal depression that usually hits me around October or November and keeps me down for about 2, sometimes even 3 months. Some days are worse than others. And I'm just going to be honest with you guys. I've followed the advice of so many people claiming to have the answers to overcoming depression. I've tried spiritual advice like listening to praise music, praying more, reading my Bible when I'm feeling down and sad. I've tried practical advice from a physical standpoint, like making it a priority to get outside, taking the right vitamins and exercising. Y'all, I even joined a gym one fall with a friend, and I actually went on a regular basis. And anyone who knows me well could tell you that my joining a gym actually going shows just how desperate I've been to beat that seasonal battle of depression. So I can only imagine how hard it is for people who struggle with it year round. So from a personal standpoint, that's why I'm super excited to hear from our guest today. Katie, how about you do the honors of introducing Christine to our listeners?
Sure. Well, Christine Chapel is an author, certified biblical counselor, and host of the Hope and Help podcast for the Institute for Biblical Counseling and Discipleship. Her writing has been featured at Desiring God, the Gospel Coalition, Risen Motherhood, and other Christian platforms. She's written several mini books, such as Help, My Teen is Depressed, and Help, I've Been Diagnosed with a Mental Disorder, as well as her latest book called Midnight Mercies, Walking with God Through Depression in Motherhood, which we are going to be talking about today. She lives in South Carolina with her husband and 3 children and is a member of Covenant Presbyterian Church in Easley. Christine, welcome to the show. We're so excited to have you here today.
Thank you so much for the invitation. I look forward to speaking with you.
Well, Christine, before we launch into questions about your book and what led you to write on this important topic, I would like to ensure we have a really good understanding of what depression is and what it isn't. I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about it, perhaps, in our culture today. So we often conflate, I think, sadness or a number of other emotions with depression. So can you help offer a really concise definition of depression?
So that's a great question. And before we get too deep in our conversation, I just want to say that when I speak about the topic of depression, I'm not doing so as a medical doctor, but really as someone who has suffered from depression personally, and therefore has sought out God's wisdom for understanding this kind of human experience. So having said that, I think one way to define the experience of depression from a biblical worldview And perhaps what's been the most helpful to me on my journey is to think about it as an evidence of a crushed spirit or downcast soul. And I get these two phrases straight from the scriptures. So first in Proverbs 18:14, which talks about the fact that the human spirit can endure in sickness, but a crushed spirit who can bear? And then also from Psalm 42 and 43, where the psalmist describes his experience of being deeply discouraged and disoriented by the inner turmoil that he's feeling and the external circumstances that he's in. But I think, too, it's important for us to recognize that to be depressed isn't necessarily to be only or exclusively a crushed spirit or downcast soul. Yes, at the core of who we are, as people who are created by God with both physical and spiritual natures, you know, we're designed as both material and immaterial beings. We are certainly not less than downcast souls or crushed spirits when we're going through depression, but it's important to recognize that there's also so much more to consider about the experience as a whole. So thinking about being an embodied soul, and the Bible teaches us that issues or problems or stressors in our physical nature certainly do exert pressure or bear down on our spiritual nature and vice versa. So our spiritual nature can also impact our physical nature. And we see these dynamics really clearly, like for instance, in the story of Job and how his intense, prolonged physical suffering certainly spiraled him into deeper despair and disillusionment. We also see the reverse dynamic at work when Proverbs 17:22 talks about the reality that a crushed spirit saps a person's strength. Even more than that, however, is also the reality that as embodied souls, we exist in a fallen world. And I think that's something that we need to remember in this conversation as well. And that means that we're not just operating in the context of being those who have, you know, as fallen creatures, disordered hearts and bodies, right? But we also exist in fallen relationships and fallen social and cultural environments. And if that wasn't hard enough, we know that we're spiritually embattled in the sense that Ephesians 6:12 talks about, that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and authorities and powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. But I think the one thing that we need to remember, that out of all of that turmoil and disorder and pain and suffering, is the reality that all of that is ultimately in the sovereign, providential control of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that somehow he's working all of this hardship and pain and trial, even our depression, our experiences of depression, in ways that we can't understand, methods we don't agree with and we don't understand from our human perspective. He causes all of those things to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose, as Romans 8:28 affirms. So I know that's a long answer, but I think it's important to start at the very core of who we are and work outward from there when thinking about the experience of depression, because by doing so, we start to see that this is not something that is likely to have a quick or simple solution. And that's why in Midnight Mercies, I call depression a multifaceted human experience, because when we oversimplify what an individual sufferer is going through without taking into consideration the spiritual, the physical, the relational, social, adversarial, and even providential components at play, we run the risk of ignoring or overlooking key contributing factors that wisely warrant our attention.
So, Christine, I know that depression has been a part of your journey as well. I have your book and very much admire your transparency and vulnerability in sharing your own battle with it. It takes a whole lot of courage to do that. So let's start with, what made you decide to write a book on such a difficult and personal issue?
Well, I think, you know, for me, I was so personally helped when I was going through what has been called the great despond, right? You know, just the season of darkness. And I was so encouraged by reading of other believers in Christ who had similar experiences. And so in some sense, I, you know, wanted to live into that 2 Corinthians 1 call to comfort others with the comfort that I myself had been comforted by God with. And so just to testify to God's mercy in the midnight of motherhood. And so that was something that I, you know, wanted to do through this opportunity to write, but also really, again, through my own journey with depression, was so helped to begin to view that term depression as a starting point and not an ending point. You know, it takes a lot of work for someone to come up and say, okay, I think I am depressed. I am experiencing depression. I haven't wanted to admit that to myself, but here I am. And I'm saying, I'm depressed today. And that's a great starting point, but we don't want to go just end there, you know, because I think I have learned that as I and the Lord has helped me through his word to tease that word apart, you begin to see all of the different emotional facets to that experience. You know, that there's hopeless, not just hopelessness, but there's weariness and there is sadness, even if the depression isn't loss related, there is sadness that we feel in depression, anger, anxiety, shame, loneliness, even. Mm. And so to begin to help women to grow their emotional vocabulary, to begin to equip them to better recognize the different emotions that they're experiencing in depression, instead of just saying, I'm depressed and that's it. It's like, okay, well, you guys even had Ed Welch on your show a few programs ago, and I was so helped by his book on depression, where he says that depression has a voice and it's trying to say something. So what is depression trying to say? And as we go through Midnight Mercies, my goal is that I would be able to help, you know, through the word, to give words to that experience that the woman who is suffering might be able to tune her ears to the groans that are coming out of her heart, and then use that as a starting point to figure out, okay, well, what's going on at the heart level? What am I feeling and why? And what does God's word have to say about how I can engage that emotion with hope?
Mm. Well, Christine, one aspect that makes my personal struggle with seasonal depression even more difficult is guilt. You know, when I'm down, I can't hide it. It's in my countenance. It's in my face. It's in the way I talk. And my husband will ask, you know, just tell me what's wrong. And I'll say, that's the problem. There is absolutely nothing wrong. I have so much to be thankful for. And then I start counting my blessings. I have you, our kids, our home, our friends, our church, our ministry, all the things that I love. And I'll say, I love our lives. There's nothing wrong. I am so incredibly blessed, far more than I deserve. Yet here I am, feeling heavy, unmotivated, and sad. And all I want to do is cry, and I have no reason to. So, Christine, on top of the depression, I just feel this tremendous guilt that I feel depressed in the first place. So is that a common emotion for moms who experience depression? And you briefly touched on this, but are there other common emotions as well that you can talk a little bit more about? Because as much as I'd love to turn this episode into a personal counseling session for me, maybe I did have a little motive for having you on. I do want other moms to understand, you know, some of the other emotions that they might be struggling with as well.
Yeah, well, when I there is a chapter, I'm not sure if I mentioned in my answer before, on shame. And so I think particularly, you know, I say at the beginning of the book that I wish that I could say my Christian faith, like at the beginning of the story in Midnight Mercies, I'm kind of tracking through a week I spent in the mental hospital after harming myself and having suicidal thoughts for a number of weeks. And, you know, I wish I could have said my Christian faith at that point was like a comfort to me. But entering into the mental hospital at that time, I really felt like, and I'm not saying this was a right way to think about it, but I felt like my shame was compounded because I had that belief that I shouldn't be feeling like this, right? Like you were saying, Ginger, I shouldn't be feeling this way. Here's the laundry list why, right? Mm-hmm. And so that shame of like, I'm unclean and everybody around me knows it and I can't change it. Right. Mm-hmm. And so shame, guilt, you know, can be something that we feel in response to going through a season of depression. And I think that, again, through Midnight Mercies in this book, what I'm trying to help women to embrace is to start this journey where you are actually at and not where you think you should be. You know, because you're not going to make forward progress through something like depression if you are stuck constantly saying to yourself, I shouldn't be feeling like this. I don't have a good reason to be crying. You know, it's like, look, you've got to start with the fact that you are. God cares about how you actually are feeling, not how you think you should be feeling or shouldn't be feeling. And so for me, I have been so helped by knowing that I can come to him with my authentic emotion, not so that I can rage at him or shake a fist or anything like that, but to say, Lord, I know that this is a tangled up mess right now of emotion and I can't make left from right of it. Help. How do I understand this? And more importantly, how do you view me when I feel like this? Because I think that's one of the things we struggle to perceive in depression, especially because depression is a time when we feel like God is distant or he's not helping or he's not hearing. And so there's a little bit of a sense of like, there's a like a distance that we can't quite put our finger on. But at the same time, one of the major things in Midnight Mercies that I try to demonstrate chapter and chapter and chapter as we go is to look at biblical narratives where we see God meeting his people when they feel hopeless, when they feel weary and sad and angry and anxious and ashamed and lonely. How does he view you, depressed mother, when you are feeling these different facets of the experience of depression? Because that's where you find your hope, is that you see how he interacts with people like you who have a shared common emotional experience, feeling that shame or feeling that sadness or that hopelessness or weariness. And he offers himself over and over and over again as a merciful, patient, loving God who will make clear for you the next right step to take. And so I don't know if that helps with answering your question. But,
yes, it absolutely does. Yeah. And just the importance of seeking him in it, even on the days that you feel like you feel that distance, still pursuing him with every ounce of our being, reading the scripture, talking with him. And I sometimes refer to my seasonal depression as the thorn in my side that keeps me on my knees seeking the Lord and his help in my life.
Ginger, I think what you said is so helpful, and it makes me remember, you know, the reality that we are not called to have complete self-knowledge. Ginger, God doesn't expect you to figure out why you feel this way year after year after year. He is the only one who knows all of that. He doesn't ask you to figure it out. What he does ask is that you walk with him, that you abide, right? We know that Jesus says our part, God does his part, we do our part. Our part is to abide in Christ, right? Through fellowship with him, through his word. His part is through our abiding, he produces fruit. Right? He grows us into Christ-likeness over time. We are changed by one degree to another. That's the promise. And so I love just dwelling on that fact, is that I'm not called to complete self-knowledge to figure out every single contributing factor to my experience of depression. And that's where we get stuck a lot of times, is in that spiral of trying to figure out the problem. And we just usually tend toward even deeper despair because we can't, because God has not, you know, secret things belong to the Lord. He hasn't called us to figure it all out. He's called us to lean on his understanding, the fact that he knows what we need, and to trust him for that daily bread to sustain us in those seasons of darkness.
That's good.
Ever wondered why traditional math curricula seem like a one-size-fits-all deal? Well, let's shake things up a bit and talk about CTC Math, a program that truly understands your child's unique learning needs. Imagine a math curriculum that adapts to their pace, making learning not just effective, but also enjoyable. No more tears. The interactive questions change in difficulty based on how your child is progressing, ensuring they're challenged just enough, not too hard, not too easy. It's like having a math tutor who knows exactly what they need when they need it. And as a parent, you'll love the detailed reports. You get to see their progress in real time so you can celebrate their victories and understand their challenges. It's really empowering. So if you're ready to give your child's math education a major boost, just visit ctcmath.com and sign up for a free trial. That's ctcmath.com. So we've talked about the experience as a Christian, but help us understand why suffering from depression can be even more painful for Christian mothers. What is it about motherhood that can make that even more complicated?
Well, I think as parents, we might feel like we should have all the answers. Mm. You know, that if we are moms, then it's likely that our suffering or the experience of depression is impacting our family. Mm. You know, our children are seeing, they're seeing us like this, or maybe we're trying really, really hard to not let them see us in our pain. And so we're presenting this facade. So either they're seeing us in our authentic distress, or that can be a problem sometimes, depending on how we're expressing that. And if that's coming out in rage, or if it's coming out in silent treatment, or if it's coming out and mom hasn't come out of her room in 3 days, you know, so those are not, you know, necessarily great things for the family to have to endure altogether. Mom's hurting and no one wants mom to hurt, right? But at the same time, mom might also be just trying to stuff all that down and not deal with it. And so she's present on the other, you know, side of the coin. She could be trying to be real strong. Mom has to be strong and steady because she's got the children watching and she's got, you know, this label of I'm the Christian super mom and I can do all the things, you know, and nothing's going to get me down, you know, and that's dangerous too in its own way, because that type of mentality, you know, presses a mom back onto her own resources, her own abilities. Can you suffer this, you know, quote unquote, well, which, you know, from my perspective means, will you suffer this stoically, right? Will you suffer this depression perfectly? And we put that pressure on ourselves sometimes, or that pressure comes from our family members. That pressure might come from, you know, culturally speaking, we don't share about these difficult emotions, you know, so again, a lot of different things, you know, could be going on. But just as a mom, you know, to feel powerless, like you have a problem, you don't know how to fix it, and you have the additional responsibilities of being a caregiver for these children that God has given to you, or for the household that you're charged, you know, to run with. And maybe this mom also has a job. And so she also needs to function well, or else the bills don't get paid. You know, maybe this is a single mom. And so again, you know, not to say that mother's suffering is more than any other type of person's suffering, but I think those are some ways that it is distinct, is that it doesn't just impact her. It bleeds into relationships. It bleeds into her roles and responsibilities. And if she doesn't have the support that is needed during that time, you know, it can be a really dangerous situation for her to feel so hopeless that she just can't go on anymore and doesn't want to live. You know, that could be that extreme, just continuing to cycle downward into a deeper despair to the point where, you know, things aren't getting handled and bills aren't getting paid and children aren't being cared for. And so that's probably some extremes. But at the same time, you know, I think it is, we see in the news, more and more moms are turning to alcohol to cope with their sorrows. More and more moms are committing or making suicide attempts, and postpartum depression, you know, is on the rise. And so we see that today's moms are struggling. And so that's one of the reasons why I wanted to write this book, hopefully to help those struggling moms with the hope and help of the gospel.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Because we want to be the best moms we can be. And so when we're depressed, we don't feel like we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. And so we just want to fix it. And, you know, I tend to be a fixer by nature. I've always been that way. That's why I read the books about depression and asked others that I know struggled with it for advice. I just wanted a spiritual and physical plan or solution that would fix my depression. Because when I'm in it, all I want to do is be out of it. I just want to be happy again. So with statistics for depression being higher than ever, I'm sure there's probably a lot of moms listening who can really relate to the bondage of it, of that feeling like I'm in it and I can't get out of it. But what is the danger of a fix-it mentality with depression?
Oh, I think I'll just speak from personal experience on that, and just to communicate that, you know, it's not wrong to want to alleviate your suffering, any kind of suffering. You know, we can respond to that in a godly, wise way and seek godly, wise ways to bring relief to the degree that the Lord allows. Right. But for me, after experiencing depression on and off for, I don't know, maybe 15 years or so, it had come to a point where living a sorrow-free, depression-free life was my motive for living. And let me show you how that came. I didn't know it at the time, but I read a really helpful book called Good Mood, Bad Mood by Dr. Charles Hodges. And in that particular book, he talks about a woman he was counseling and she was stuck. And, you know, he had basically had to get her to see that she had been living for the goal of being depression free, like I was. Mm-hmm. Even to the point where my faith, like everything I was doing, all my spiritual graces and exercises, unbeknownst to me, had the goal of, if I can just do the right things, then I won't feel like this anymore or ever again. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's where mm-hmm. we get that fix it mentality, is like, this is my goal. I am worshiping God because if I can do the right things, then maybe he will give me victory here. You know, maybe I could speed up that spiritual growth. I can speed up that spiritual fruit and mature in my life. And so, you know, the thing is that if fixing any kind of problem, cancer, relationship problems, marriage problems, I mean, any kind of issue that we might have, when our ultimate goal becomes getting rid of that to the degree that life is no longer worth living, if I can't get that goal, then we know we've got a worship problem. Our hope has shifted onto a change in circumstance and off of Christ, because Jesus Christ, through his gospel, did not promise us we would not have sorrow. He promised us we would have sorrows. I mean, we have to remember that our Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane told his friends, you want to talk about vulnerability, right? You want to talk about that. He told his friends in the Garden of Gethsemane, my soul is overwhelmed to the point of death. Stay here and watch with me. Like, that was his, I am in despair, I need you moment. Mm-hmm. Our Lord modeled that for us, and he did it sinlessly. You know, so we can expect that as we grow and mature in Christ, our emotions will be sanctified to the degree that they will look more like him. And he had sorrow. He did not have happiness all the time. In fact, happiness is not our default condition, right? Ever since the fall, we have been fighting for happiness wherever we can try to find it, right? And usually that we're looking for that apart from Christ and looking at it, looking for it in the created world. And so I think that's the danger for me. I got to a point where, because it didn't seem like what I was doing was achieving my goal of never feeling depressed anymore, I didn't want to live. It didn't seem worth it. And I think that's the challenge we have as Christians, is if I can't get the outcome I think my faith will produce, is my obedience worth it? And we see that wrestling all through the scriptures. We see Elijah wrestle with that, you know, in 1 Kings 19, where he feels like he's a failure. He's failed God. And he says, I'm no better than my fathers, right? I'm ready to go, Lord, kill me now. And for him, it was like, well, God was calling him to be obedient. He wasn't calling him to produce the outcome of bringing the nation of Israel into complete repentance, right? And that's how it is, Ginger, for you and I, and for others who are walking through depression, is God is calling us to himself, to abide. He's not calling us to pick up ourselves by the bootstraps and fix our depression. That's not his goal. As I said, he's not giving us complete self-knowledge. He's not asking us to solve the puzzle. He's wanting to calm our fears, right, through his fatherly love. He's calling us to himself and to walk with him through the depression. And that's how he helped me through it. And I can say, after all this time now, that as I stopped trying to fix my depression and started just walking with God through it instead of beating myself up for how I was feeling, I have not gone through depression for 7 years now, after 15 years straight. And I'm not saying I have the magic formula, okay? Mm-hmm. But I am saying is that my goal was changed to want to glorify God with my life more than I wanted to be depression free.
Wow. That's good.
I think I'm going to listen to that answer on repeat.
I know.
On a daily basis. There was just so much richness there, Chris. Mm-hmm. I mean, just so
I'm
much.
Sorry, I talked a long time.
What I mean, I could have gone on 15 different rabbit trails with you and just asked more questions, but yep. Okay, so I have one. But for those of us, and I'm including myself in this too, for those of us who have walked through depression at some point in our lives, we know it can be terribly isolating. And then adding on to that, motherhood, which has challenges of its own, as you've described. And then for some of us, stay-at-home mothering can be even more isolating. So, Christine, what words of encouragement, besides the ones you've already offered, but what words of encouragement would you offer to a mom who is currently walking through a deep, dark depression?
I would offer her the words that the Lord gives to her in Isaiah 42:16. And I would say, I'm just going to read them. He says, I will lead the blind in a way they do not know. In paths they have not known, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. These are the things I do, and I do not forsake them. I would want this mother to know that God is committed to leading you through this valley. He is your good shepherd who will lead you through the valley. And you don't know which way that and direction that's going to go. You don't know what the next steps are going to look like, but he does. They are not a mystery to him. They are not veiled to him. He will do what according to his promise. And his promise is to bring light to your darkness through bringing his son, right? He sent his son from on high to enter into this dark world. And I love how he closes that verse in Isaiah 42:16 with the reminder that these are the things I do, right? You're not in charge of bringing light to your darkness. You're not in charge of turning the rough places in your life into level ground. He will do that for you in his time, according to his plans. And he wants you to trust him in that process and believe that he has not forsaken you just because you feel like you're trapped in darkness. He is there with you. He will guide you through. And you can trust him to do that good work.
Mm, wow. I knew that was the reason we invited you on. This is going to encourage so many moms, including me. Christine, your book, Midnight Mercies, is an excellent resource for mothers struggling with depression. And of course, we'll be sure to put a link to that in the show notes. But are there any other resources on this topic that might also be helpful that you might recommend?
Yeah, Lauren Whitman has a fantastic book on mom guilt. It's a mini book, so it's only like 5,000 words. And so if you look up mom guilt, Lauren Whitman, she is a counselor at the at CCEF, the Christian Counseling and Educational Foundation. I have been helped a lot by Sarah Walton's writings, and she just came out with a fantastic new book for mothers called He Gives More Grace, I think it is called. And so I would recommend that. And in terms of on the topic of depression, of course, Ed Welch's book on the topic is kind of like the biblical counseling standard, I think. I have been so helped by that. But also to the book Spurgeon Sorrows by Zach Eswine, where he shares and stewards some of Charles Spurgeon's depression story, and really was so meaningful to me in that particular time that I talk about in Midnight Mercy. So those are a few resources that I would recommend.
Now is the part of our show where we give a quick tip for parents. And today's quick tip is courtesy of Christine. So what is your tip for us today?
Yeah, I would love to just encourage you, if you're able, to either get outside or look outside. And I cannot tell you how many times that the Lord has ministered to me by just observing his created world, looking at a flower or a tree. And I know that looking at a tree or a flower doesn't solve all of our problems. But I do think that there is something special when we consider the created world around us and ask ourselves, like, what does this tell me about who God is, his beauty, his mercy, his grace? And I think also getting outside and doing that can just help to get our eyes lifted off of ourselves and off of our problems and, lift them to something that is just to marvel at and behold for a minute. And so anyway, that's my tip. Get outside or look through a window, something to admire the beauty of God's creation, especially if what you're feeling today is not too beautiful, then that might be a place where he meets you to give you some comfort and encouragement.
I love that. Well, listeners, if you have a quick tip for our show, we would love to hear from you. It can be any random tip about cooking, housekeeping, something you do with your kids, ideas for fun date nights with your spouse, anything at all. We would love to share your ideas on the podcast. Just go to gingerhubbard.com/quicktips to submit those.
Well, Christine, thank you so much for joining us today. This has just been, wow, just such an encouragement to me. I know it has been to our listeners. So where can our listeners go to find out more about you, your books, and your podcast?
Yeah, all of that information is on my website, which is Christine, M as in Michelle, Chapel, two P's, two L's, so ChristineMChapel.com. I've got all of my articles, books, and podcast information listed there.
Okay, great. Well, we will be sure to put links to that in the show notes. So, Christine, how about offering our listeners a final word of encouragement?
Yeah, I think just to sum up what I said, you know, I think one of the watershed moments for me was learning that God wasn't asking me to work myself out of depression, that He was inviting me to walk with Him through it, no matter how many times that would take. Once I was in, you know, the pit, well, it's time to walk with the Lord through it again, and not to begrudge myself for that, but to see that as an opportunity to learn something new about who God is, about who I am to Him, and to continue to grow in Christ's likeness. And so that would be my encouragement, is to know that He's not asking you to fix yourself. He's not asking you to work yourself out or fake fine. Right, the Lord is asking you to walk with Him, to lean on Him, to trust Him, to cry out to Him, and just to rest in His everlasting arms.
Well, thank you so much, Christine and Ginger, and thank you, listeners, for joining us today. If you enjoyed our show and want to hear more, please subscribe to our podcast wherever you're listening. And while you're there, could you leave us a rating or a review? This is a great help to us to get the word out about our podcast so that other parents can be encouraged to reach the hearts of their children. You can find our show notes, which will include links to anything we mentioned in today's episode, at gingerhubbard.com. And while you're on gingerhubbard.com, you can also find Ginger's wonderful resources that will help you get to the heart of outward behavior and address it from a biblical perspective. Today, we're offering her parenting book, I Can't Believe You Just Said That, Biblical Wisdom for Taming Your Child's Tongue, at a 10% discount when you use the code parenting at gingerhubbard.com. Ginger also offers a free discussion guide for this book on her website, which is great for book clubs and small group studies. Thank you so much for joining us today, listeners. We look forward to being with you again next week. Until then, may God bless you as you seek to reach the hearts of your children for the glory of God.